don't know, if you don't know me, I'm Pastor Vince. It's, name tag says, so yeah. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be with you in worship this morning, as it is almost every Sunday. That we are glad that you are here. And if you're a guest with us this morning, it's a little different because it's my last Sunday at this church. So I just sort of give you that as a disclaimer up front, okay? I don't know how many times I've had the privilege of preaching God's word here, but I'm pretty sure that of all the sermons I've preached and subjected you to over the years, the one I've got to preach today is perhaps the most difficult to prepare. For starters, it's emotional because it's the last time I'll preach to you as one of your pastors. If you ever hear me preach again, it will because you, like, in a weak moment, you invited me back for something, right? Or maybe you've made the trip out to Buckeye, Arizona. Buckeye, Arizona. Sounds like a cartoon. I mean, reflect on this for a minute. Yankee Catholic dude goes to seminary via Houston and ends up preaching the gospel in Buckeye, Arizona. Yeehaw! It proves that God's got a sense of humor, doesn't it? Or maybe you'll catch me on the internet now and then. Another factor that makes this a tough preaching assignment is the question of, so what do I talk about? What do I talk about? I mean, Pastor Dan gave me the privilege of breaking out of the Roman series. He said I could preach anything I wanted to preach this morning as long as I preach for less than an hour. So we're in good shape. But how do I summarize my thoughts about leaving a congregation that I love? Well, at least most of you. Kidding. But it's a tough assignment. Especially when you want to make sure that the sermon points to Christ and the power of the cross and his word one last time before you leave. So I picked a text from Acts because it seems to be a similar situation to what we face together this morning. Now allow me to set the scene. Paul, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, okay, at this point in his ministry, he's been in the city of Ephesus and preaching about Jesus Christ, and he had planted a Christian congregation in Ephesus, but he had also spent a bunch of time away from his congregation in Ephesus. And now he's got the opportunity to come back, to return to Ephesus one last time, to address the leaders of that church that he had planted there, and to give them some encouragement as he would be leaving them. In a lot of ways, you can say this section of scripture we're going to look at is his farewell sermon to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. And there's some things in his last sermon that he wanted to make sure the Ephesians remembered after he left. And that's also what I want you to keep in mind as I leave you. So we're going to work together on this. We're not going to put all the scriptures up on the screen today because we actually want to get out and open the Word of God. So open up your Bibles, or if you didn't bring yours, get a loaner Bible out of the pews and open up to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 20. I believe it's on page 929, if you're in a pew Bible. 929. Acts chapter 20. And the first thing that I want to leave you with today is this. Remember why God brought us together. Remember why God brought Pastor Vince and y'all together. And Paul says it in his context to the Ephesians here in verse 18. Look at verse 18. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here is telling the Ephesians the very reason that God brought them together. And it's so Paul would not cower in fear, but that Paul would boldly declare to all of Ephesus the truth. The truth that we're sinful in thought, word, and deed, and we all face the wrath of God. Pastor Dan taught on that recently, the wrath of God. We like to sort of skip that part. But we're all sinful in thought, word, and deed. We all face the wrath of God. But that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and risen again so that we would die to our sin and rise again with him. I remember a few years back when we were without a senior pastor for a couple of years at Gloria Day, a gentleman in our congregation sent me an email. And he sent me an email and he said, I really hope that the new pastor doesn't have the same contract as you and Pastor Lonnie. Huh? So I had to ask him, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you two talk about sin every week, and I don't like hearing that. Gloria Day, take these words to heart. God calls pastors here to proclaim two things to you every time we preach the Word of God. Every time. God's Word of grace, God's Word of law. God's Word of law, His Word of gospel. Two things every time. He placed me here so that you would hear the Scripture truth. It's undeniable of Psalm 51:5 that you were sinful from the moment of your birth, sinful from the time your mother conceived you. Our liturgy says it, that you have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that you have faced God's wrath and God's judgment in the end if you don't turn from your sinful ways to repentance and faith in Christ before the day of grace has ended. And it's been my joy to proclaim to you the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ did it. He lived the perfect life on the cross that you and I can't live. And because of what Christ has done for all of us, you are forgiven of all your sins. Y'all. You. Let me explain y'all in the context of Scripture. It doesn't matter if you're a good person or a jerk. It doesn't matter whether you're fun to be around or a sourpuss. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, or even, if you're Lutheran. Y'all means everybody. You see, that promise in Scripture was for each and every one of you who believed in Jesus Christ and turned to Him in repentance and faith. That was the reason that God allowed our paths to cross for a time, so that you would hear that message from God's Word. So that you would be able to hear of God's great, enormous love for you. And I wasn't the one giving the forgiveness. I was merely the chosen instrument that God called to bring it here, to bring it aloud, and to bring it about so that you would either be brought to faith in Christ or be strengthened in your faith in Christ. And it's been a great joy to see many of you grow in faith. A great joy to bring the comfort of the gospel to you. It's been a privilege to bring the comfort of the gospel to you in good times and in some really lousy times. At the baptismal font, right here at the altar, on a wedding day, to bring the gospel to you next to the open grave of someone you love who died in the faith. So that's the first thing I want you to remember from this message on this day. Why God brought us together in the first place. That covers the beginning. But today, I wrap up. I conclude my ministry among you. And Paul talks about that as well in the text. Look at verses 22 and 23. He tells them, "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." Well, there's something to look forward to, huh? Hopefully I would have to, like, really screw up to get imprisoned out there. But I'm sure the good folks in Buckeye are going to receive me and my family quite well and with joy. But what Paul is telling them in this text here, the Ephesians, is this is not going to be easy. It's a time for him to move on, to proclaim that same gospel message to others in Jerusalem that he's been proclaiming in Ephesus. So let me talk to you about why I'm leaving. I mean, many of you have let me know what you think about it. Joy of email. Truth is, anytime a pastor leaves a congregation to go serve another, there are a range of emotions that go through the members of that church. Some of you are sad to see me and my family leave, and in some cases, don't want us to leave. Others of you may be angry, either at me or maybe other people that you want to blame for my decision. And there are probably a few of you who are happy to see us pack up and for me to get out of here. And that's okay. Everyone's entitled. Everyone's entitled to feel the way they do and even express that in an appropriate manner. And while many factors contribute to a large decision, deep down, the ultimate reason I made the decision I did is the second thing I would like you to remember today. And it's found in Paul's words here in verse 22. Constrained by the Spirit. Constrained by the Spirit. You see, for Paul, it was not his choice where he went on his journeys and how long he would stay in a particular city or a particular congregation. It was God's choice. And that's the way it is for me. Ultimately, just as it was the work of the Holy Spirit that brought me into the office of public ministry here at this marvelous place called Gloria Day, it's the Holy Spirit's work that led Summit Community Church, which is Lutheran, by the way, in case you're nervous about that. Okay? It's the work of the Holy Spirit that led Summit Community Church to extend a call to me and call me to wrestle with that call. And in the end, indeed, I was constrained by the Spirit, and God made it clear to me in various ways that it's time for my ministry here to conclude and head off to the desert. In the end, I'm not the one in charge. I'm not the one in charge of my life, where I will live, or what congregation I will serve, or for how long. It's God's call, not mine. And it's not yours. Now, up to this point, I've been talking about the past. It's time to focus on the future, both for you and for me and my family as we go our separate ways. What will we be about in our Father's kingdom in this world before we all are reunited together in the splendors of heaven someday? And I'm confident that's going to happen. What are we going to be about in God's world here? For me, the task of testifying to the gospel of the grace of God will continue. The message will be the same. The only thing that will change is the setting. Instead of serving this great big enormous church that has a beautiful chapel and a fantastic worship center, I'm going to serve a church that doesn't have a chapel, much less a worship center. They don't have a gym or a preschool or a large staff. And I'm going to miss our staff. They're really great. They're competent, qualified, dedicated, convicted. And they serve you guys more than you'll ever know. And while the name and the place and the history change, the ultimate task I have before me that I'm called to do will not, which is proclaiming God's word of law and gospel to the people under my spiritual leadership and encouraging them to reach the world for Jesus one life at a time. And likewise for you, your ultimate task as a congregation doesn't change just because I'm not one of your pastors anymore. Paul talked about that with the Ephesian congregation. Look at verses 28 or so down to the first part of 31. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. So Paul is recognizing here the great danger that would lie ahead for the Ephesian congregation. The temptation to abandon the true gospel and adopt a false one instead. One that's actually no gospel at all. Now see, the blessing here for Gloria Day is that you will continue to be served by faithful pastors, and by great staff, and by strong leaders. You're Gloria Day. You got this. The best is yet to come. I fully believe that. I fully have confidence in that for you. But that temptation that Paul was writing about there still plagues the church today. Some say that churches like ours take God's word too seriously or too literally. And they claim that we need to loosen up a little bit, particularly on kind of the hot issues of the day. Some folks speculate that if we don't accept homosexuality and abortion and euthanasia and evolution, that people won't come to our church. And there's really one answer to that type of thinking. It's in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I mean, do you think that the teachings of the apostles were any more popular back then to the unbelievers of that time than they are now? Nope. But in the end, people are looking for the truth. Someone who loves God's word and is devoted to it will want to join a church where God's word is taught without additions and without subtractions. That's not only pleasing to Jesus, it also helps make a church strong and spiritually alive. You see, pastors will come and go. Pastor Dan, Pastor Lonnie, Pastor Al won't be here forever. Well, Al could be here forever. I think it could be possible, Lonnie. Yeah. But this will be here forever. This is the Holy Bible. This is God's unchanging word. It's his unchanging word to us. It's what it says in verse 32 of this passage. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This book is God's word. It is not a doctrinal buffet from which we get to pick and choose. This is what builds us up as Christian men and women and children in the faith. This is where we hear about our inheritance of eternal life. One for us, every one of us, by Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading today says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So my question for you today, Gloria Day, is, how are you going to do that? How will you, all y'all, constrained by the Spirit, how will you obey that command, the command our Lord has given? I mean, I look across Christendom and I see churches that are on fire for the gospel, and I see other churches that are still looking for a match. How are you, Gloria Day, not just going to rest on your laurels as Glory Day, the glory of God? How are you going to engage in Missio Dei, the mission of God? How are you going to help people live life with Jesus every day? And I'm going to give you some challenging suggestions. Don't get mad at me, but they're grounded in God's word. Living the Missio Dei. First of all, with respect to worship, remember that the style of our worship is not important. It doesn't matter whether the music is the great hymns of the church led by organ and brass and bells and all that, or if it's more contemporary songs led by our great praise band and team and vocalists. It doesn't matter. Style doesn't matter. We are not here to be pleased. We are here to be pleasing to Him. In worship, when we gather to celebrate God's eternal mission. We're strengthened by word and by sacrament so that we can continue to live effectively for Christ as exiles and aliens in this world. We come here to connect, to minister, and to be equipped for service in His kingdom. With respect to the world is a changing place, and it's changing faster out there than it is in here. And as His church, we must practice cultural flexibility without spiritual compromise as a way to express grace. It's in 1 Corinthians 9. Now, I want to double-click that. I want to drill down on that a little bit. How do we practice cultural flexibility without spiritual compromise? Well, one thing we must do, Hebrews 13, is show hospitality to strangers, people that are different from us. We must love those of diverse races and political orientations and sexual preferences without sacrificing biblical principles. It's in Mark 8. I mean, face it, we all got really fired up when the mayor of Houston wrongly subpoenaed a bunch of sermons, right? I was ticked. How many of us prayed for her? We must serve those who cannot pay us back. It's in James 1. We must be wisely generous with our financial and material resources, even to the point of sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8. I just taught on that a few weeks ago. I think this church has a tremendous history of 2 Corinthians 8 kind of generosity, of sacrificial giving, of courageous generosity. And we must continue, even to the point of sacrifice. We must take a collaborative role among the arts community within a given culture. It's in Exodus 31. Now let's talk arts for a second. I'm sort of a musician type person, and we all know, you know, those artists can be like a little weird sometimes. I mean, they can be kind of like out there. But we can't ignore that. We can't hide from that culture. We have to engage, take a collaborative role with the arts community within a given culture. We have to take a collaborative role in civic structures within a given culture. It's in Daniel and Jeremiah. So I gave you all these references in the outline because I'm moving so fast this morning. With respect to the gospel, we must find ways, many ways, to express the gospel. Now, sometimes this takes a place in the context of a serving event, like we see in Acts 9, 36 through 39. Other times, expressing the gospel takes place as a believer exposes his friends to the destructive idols of the culture. We see that in Acts 17. But however it takes place, at some point, the believer invites his friends in to the context of the redeemed community where Christ is experienced, and His message is seen in action. It's in Acts chapter 9. Now, with respect to everyday life, we use those words every day around here a lot because they're our mission statement, right? Helping one another live life with Jesus every day. So how do we do this with respect to everyday life? We're living in the presence of the risen Christ. I hope I'm smiling when I say that. Do you ever watch a TV preacher and he's bringing the greatest news of all time and he just looks all mean and ornery about it? We're living in the presence of the risen Christ. Wow. Which means we're living on mission all the time. We can look around and say, what is God doing in this situation? Does this person before me need prayer? How might I be helpful right now? With respect to discipleship, remember that discipleship is not about brain change. It's about life change. We don't teach for the purpose. We don't preach and teach for the purpose of increasing head knowledge. We teach and preach for the purpose of life change. And when somebody grasps the concept, when they grasp the concept of grace, they are then highly motivated to grow and change. With respect to cultural trends, whether we like it or not, much of North American culture is postmodern and post-Christian, and in many ways it's anti-Christian. And we have to learn about that, not hide from it, not build a moat around the church and pull up the drawbridge. We actually have to learn about that and study the culture. We got to get in it and not hide from it. If we get in it and begin to understand it, we can be more effective reaching the people who are in it. The first Sunday that I was the interim leader around here, I told you that this isn't your church. Ooh, I got some email on that one. I also said it isn't my church. This is Christ's church. He's the head of it, and we're merely the caretakers for the brief time that we have in this world. But this is where some very important things happen. This is where he wants to give you the gifts of forgiveness and life and salvation through his unchanging word and through the sacraments. And he does that in the midst of a world that's constantly changing and sometimes seemingly out of control. Remember that. The church is his. And finally, friends, remember that although we will be separated by geography, West Phoenix is a fairly long plane ride from here, it seems. And if they lose your golf clubs and your luggage on the same direct flight, you just got to wonder, what are they doing? It makes it even seem longer. But remember that although we're separated by geography, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin and death and the power of the devil, we are always united together in Christ. And we will see each other again one day. Maybe not in this world, but in the splendor of paradise. The splendor of his kingdom. The splendor of his paradise. Where we will see with all of our own eyes these promises fulfilled. And I'm confident and looking forward to seeing y'all. Gloria Day, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Love y'all.